Praise God. We just praise you, Lord, and we thank you for what you're doing in our life. We thank you, Lord, for being with us, being the light in our life, and that if you're the light in our life, we are the light. And I thank you for it, Father. And there are certain benefits with that light. And I praise you for it, Lord. And I thank you for all that you're doing with us. And I praise you, Father, for giving us people that are sacrificial to you and to your people. And I praise you, Lord, that things are happening now that will astound the natural world. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that we will continue to seek you and your light. You said, you told us, Lord, that as long as we got the light, there is no darkness. And then there's no darkness, there's no problems. And we praise you, Father, that we all walk in the light. We have our mind and our eyes and our ears focused on you, Lord. Nothing will distract us from that. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Father, for boxing us in to your world, Lord. We don't want any other world but your world, Lord. We want to be led by your spirit, talk by your spirit, and to act by your spirit, Lord. Because we know that the power, the authority, and the wherewithal is all there for everything that we need is right there in one little Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that Jesus is in us all. And our flesh has died. And we're walking in you, Lord. I see it as it says in 1 Corinthians 3:18, Lord, that we are all Jesus. And that's where we want to be. That's where we want to stay. That's where we want to reside. That everything about us is about Jesus. Nothing else matters. And I praise you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time because we're going to be led by your spirit. And I thank you for it, Father. Lord, if there's anybody here that's feeling down, in the name of Jesus, I command all oppressive spirits out of here. And I thought we only allow good, great, and praising spirits in here, Lord, joyful, peaceful, and resting in you, Lord. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, every spirit not of God, leave this room. Do not come back. You're not welcome. You can't stay. The power of God commands you to go right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that we don't care what people want to institute against us, AI, BI, and whatever. It don't make any difference, Lord. They're not in control. You're in control. And I praise you and I thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Praise be to the Lord God Almighty. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Whew. I don't know why, but I feel pretty good right now. A while ago, I wasn't feeling that good, but I feel lots better now. Joe, thank you. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for a dear old saint. We met her when we lived in Montana, first moved to Montana. She is either 97 or almost 97. And anyway, I talked to her yesterday, and she's been a faithful handmaiden of the Lord. She's ordained under John G. Lake's ministry, and we'll just leave it at that. There were a few things there that, you know, I didn't agree with her on, but she's been faithful to what she's known. And anyway, I talked to her yesterday, and she's just worn out, and I think ready to go home. Yeah. So, Lord, I lift doors up to the throne of grace, and praise God, Father, praise God. I just thank you. I thank you for Doris and her life, and that she always, always loved you. She always talked about you. You used her to bring a lot of people into the kingdom. And, Father, that she operated in some of the gifts of the Spirit, which blessed the body. And Father, she was always a blessing to us. And your word says you'll bless those that bless us. Doris, always a blessing to me. And so, Lord, I'm just praying for a quick, safe, peaceful passage that she's just going to lay down and go to sleep and go to heaven.
Amen.
Because I know she's ready for that. And
Amen.
As we talked just briefly yesterday, we have eternity to spend together in heaven, praising Jesus and loving Jesus and being with the saints of God. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're taking good care of Doris, that the angels are surrounding her right now and preparing at just your right moment, Father, that you're going to take her. And also, Lord, that if there's just anything, that her slate is clean, when completely clean, when she enters the heavenly realm. And it's all to your glory. I sure always could see Jesus in her. And she's a blessing to many. So in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Can I ask you a question? Was that John G. Lake Ministries out of Dallas or Spokane?
Probably out of Spokane because, you know, she was in Montana.
Okay. There's a big difference in each one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She offered to sponsor us so that we could be ordained in that ministry, but we, you know, Lord put it, well, first off, we didn't have the $86 at the time to get ordained. And
really? Oh, that's Spokane, yeah.
Yeah. And she was surprised because I told her that, you know, we have learned a lot through John G. Lake and but she didn't know anything about Curry Blake. So I'm believing it probably was Spokane. But you know, I do know that Doris did the best that she could with what she knew.
Yeah.
And
Amen. Yes, Lord, take her home in a peaceful way, Lord, joyful way. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Ben.
I don't really have a prayer request, so if anyone has a prayer request, but it's more of a testimony. I don't want to take anyone's time for the prayer request, though.
Oh, that's okay.
This weekend, I went to the movies with Karen's family, and it was it was a Christian movie. It's called After Death. It's more of a documentary, and it was pretty interesting because, like, they had all these people that had near-death experiences. And they saw, like, Jesus, or they saw men that were black and hooded, and they, like, they took them to hell, and they walked them down, like, a long hallway. But then, it was super just interesting. It obviously started out pretty secular because there was a secular professor that doubted God and religion and stuff. But, the thing that he really enjoyed was that people saw from a third-person perspective the surgery that they were doing on that person in their near-death experience. Like, he could tell them, like, hey, this is going on, that was going on. And he was like, how do you know that? You were technically dead at that point. And it was so interesting because there was this one guy that had a really good testimony, and it did a complete 180 from his life, and he was a very rash and rude man. And then, you know, he saved his relationship with his dad when he came back, but then he lost his relationship with his kids because he says it's all love, even though before he was not like that at all. And anyways, it was just encouraging to see it. I'm pretty sure it's in theaters still. I don't really know if it's in the States. Probably is. It's by Angel Studios, the same studios that makes The Chosen show. I don't really watch that too much, but anyways, it was just a good movie. Just thought I'd throw it out there. And
okay.
I got a prayer request too, now that the family, or Karen's family has been brought up. So you all know that Juan has been, he's got his calling, and then he had a dream recently. He didn't tell me, but Karen told me in confidence just to pray for him about it, because it was a very he didn't understand it, so he went to his pastor, and he gave them, I would say, terrible advice. He said that, well, this is God telling you that he won't be able to work through you because of the things you did in the past.
What?
That's exactly what I said. And I just want to pray against any condemnation, and to just get the devil any idea that God can't work through him out of him. I'll get it started. Lord Father God, I thank you for calling Juan, and whether or not this is a dream from you, you didn't really give me any details. I thank you for giving him a dream, but if this is from the enemy, please enlighten him and show him the truth that you can work through him, that you are working through him right now, Father, that it's all from you, and we thank you for this, Father. And I tell you, devil, you get out of my brother Juan. You have no claim on him. You get out of him now in the name of Jesus Christ. I hate you so much for doing this to him so early, and I don't want you near him no more. In the name of Jesus Christ, you get out of him now. Get out. I hate him. Amen.
Amen. You tell your brother that if God can work through Paul, he can work through him more so.
Yeah.
Tell him he needs to get away from that preacher. That preacher's
Oh, yeah.
not biblical. Yes, Lord, we just cast down any condemnation, any rejection from that in the name of Jesus right now. We command it as null and come, go from him. Just leave him in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for opening up his eyes and ears to the great truth of the gospel, rather than listen to these lying devils up in the pulpit. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord, for completely delivering him of these false prophets in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Father, we pray blessings on Juan. Lord, you drew him to your word, and the devil hates that. And as
Yeah.
a brother here was praying, Father, that you, Satan, you let go of him. We command the hedge protection all around Juan right now from the enemy's lies and deception, discouragement, disappointment, failure, depression, unworthiness, and everything else the liar has been spewing out, trying to get him away from the truth. We forbid all that in the name of Jesus, and we command everything that's been, every word curse spoken over him to be broken off of him. Lord, I pray that you give him a dream to let him know how much you love him and how much you have forgiven him for everything of his past, that he knows that you value who he is, that he's a new creation in Christ Jesus. However that looks, Lord, with how Juan will be able to receive that from you. I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I pray, God, you bring a separation there between Juan and those who would pollute the truth and discourage him
Amen.
from seeking after a relationship with his Father and with the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for surrounding him with the right people who will speak truth into him, who will encourage him, who will show him the way, who will help him, Lord, in his walk with you, who will disciple him in truth and in love and in grace, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for courage. Just be courage and faith into him right now, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Today, amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you, I break the curse of this false teacher of the gospel. I break that curse of religiosity off of him, or religion off of him right now. And Lord, I ask that you save that man. You save him and fill him up with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that he could correct some of the things that he has put on these people. In Jesus' name, we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. When I hear something like that, I'm always reminded of Howard Pittman giving out he thought was the gospel. And the Lord took him to hell and showed him where he was destined if he didn't, you know, and gave him another chance to come out and correct what he'd done. Yeah, Missy.
I have a prayer request if nobody else. Okay. I sent my sister Katie's testimony, and it really blessed her. Her husband, Frank, isn't saved. And then she said it was very timely because she said Frank's worried about all the terrorists coming into the country and also
She froze in time. She's in the wrong timeline. Get back in here, Missy. In Jesus' name. Oh, there she is. Oh, praise God.
Where was I at?
You were out of time. You were in the wrong timeline.
When I got cut off, where was I at?
You said that her husband was worried about terrorists coming into the country and we lost you.
Okay. He's worried about terrorists coming in the country and also the illegal immigrants and everything. And he can't buy a rifle for some reason. She didn't say why, but he wanted her to buy one, you know, to do it. And she told him that she wouldn't, you know, because she wouldn't use it. And she basically would be buying it for him to illegally use. But he says, well, I'll get one even if I have to get one illegally. So, Father, I just pray, Father, that you just send forth your angels and you that they just keep Frank from being able to find anybody to be able to buy or sell a gun to him, no matter what the circumstances are, a rifle or whatever it is, whatever kind of gun it may be. In the name of Jesus, and I forbid the enemy to use this to drive a wedge between Cindy and Frank. Lord, I ask you to give her much wisdom, help her to not say anything that she shouldn't say, Lord, that she not speak anything condemning, Lord. But Lord, that you just work in his heart and take it out of his heart, Lord, that Lord, you just show him, Lord, that you are the Savior and he doesn't need to protect himself and Cindy or whatever he wants to do with that gun, which pretty much sounds like for protection, Lord. And just drive that message home to him, however you choose that to be, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for saving him, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for granting him repentance unto salvation, Lord. And that he know that it's by grace he is saved. And it's not by works, Lord. He can't save himself or Cindy or anybody else, Lord. And I just thank you for your protection upon him and Cindy. And forbid this to happen, that he find someone to sell him a gun. And I praise you and I thank you, Father, for doing it. Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. Keep the handguns, rifles, whatever, weapons out of that man's hand. If he can't get them legally, he don't need them. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Amen. All right. Y'all ready to hear a good praise song? All right. Jesus loves me, this I'm not. Oh, y'all want to hear something? Okay. Oh, y'all are very, very selective here.
You can keep going if you want, Mike.
Eyes haven't seen, and ears haven't heard the kind of blessings, the kind of blessings that's about to fall on me. Victory is here. Kick defeat out the door. God's doing a new thing. Yeah. Get ready for overflow. 'Cause I'm getting ready.
I'm getting ready to see.
Oh, something I've never seen. I'm getting ready.
Yo, beach house vibes, maneuver the jet ski. 'Cause I serve a God that parted the Red Sea. Multi-million dollar commercials for Pepsi. From food stamps to more ice than Gretzky. I don't gotta talk, the Lord defends me. I watch them all fall for going against me. 'Cause me and all my angels shot the devil up. While you was trying to pull me down, I leveled up. I leveled up twice, I leveled up three times. He tapped them and told them she's mine. So even when I cried, I knew I'd be fine. Prepare for a miracle blessing in these times. Now praise them, raise them, name it, claim it. Every tongue that rises up against me, shame it. I breathe success in and out my lungs. Got the power of life and death coming out my tongue.
Okay. How many of you ready for overflow? I'll be so ready for overflow. Lord of God. Enjoy provisions, everything. Jesus. I'm ready for an overflow of Jesus. Anybody ready for not? Can you get an overflow of Jesus? I don't believe you can. Lord of God, I think you just fill up and up and up and up and up and up and the light just goes forth from you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Geneva.
Hey, Brother Michael.
Hi.
I hope everybody's doing good. So I have a praise and then also want to ask for prayer. You know how we've been praying that, we're trying to get Micah in the bathtub. Well, she is. That girl needs to go to the bathtub. Anyways, but we've been praying, you know, that we have, they're really loud. So we've been praying that we could get a job for Morgan. And, they're being goofy. And so the Lord blessed Morgan with a interview on Tuesday to be an electrician at a big factory here in town. And when Morgan told me, I was so excited because we've just been waiting forever, you know, for something to just for him to get a call. And so I just want to say a prayer that the Lord be with him and bless him and that he have the right words to say and speak and that this be it, you know, because it seems like Morgan's been on this uphill climb just trying to, you know, move his way up kind of. And, you know, this would be a big deal because now he won't have to drive an hour to work and an hour back home every day. And he'll only be like 10 minutes away from the house. So, anyways, if I say a prayer, if y'all just want to believe with me. Well, dear Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I thank you that you already know what's to come, Jesus. And Lord, this is in your hands. And Father, give me peace and give Morgan peace. And let's just believe in what we pray that you're going to bless him with the words to speak. And he's going to interview well. And he's going to be confident, not in the ways of the world, but in through you, Father, and what you're doing. And Lord, you're going to bless whoever's interviewing him, Father, to ask good questions and questions that Morgan knows, things that he knows and has experience in and what he's been doing. And Lord, just really, Father, I just thank you, Lord, you're going to shine your light through him and they're going to feel really good about Morgan. They're going to know that he is a good worker and a hard worker and that there's something different about him and it's Christ. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to do this and it's going to bless our family. And I just thank you, Jesus. This is exciting. And I just thank you for this opportunity, Father. You know me, pray, amen.
Amen, Lord. We declare and decree that this is going to be the perfect job for Morgan and he's going to walk right into it. We thank you for it, Father, that he's going to have peace in his heart too. He's going to go in there and knock him out. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, it's also going to provide provisions that they've never had before. And we praise you for it, that they would not only give you the glory, Lord, that they would share it in Jesus' name. We praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. It's done. Y'all believe that? I believe it. I believe Morgan's going to walk in there and that job is his. Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for sending the angels with him.
Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, I know the good report's coming, so. Praise God. Anybody else? Mm-mm-mm. All right. What y'all want to talk about tonight? Let's talk about Jesus. Y'all talk about Jesus? Let's talk about Jesus. Anybody got to say anything about Jesus? What you going to say about Jesus? I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. He took a man that had been running from him for 50 years and brought him into the kingdom. I might have. Yeah. That's right, dude. Jesus loves me, and this I know. Glory to God. Made a man of God out of him. Still got a lot of work to do, but I know God can do it. Y'all know that? And I just praise God. I thank you, Lord, for saving me, saving my family, saving all of my family in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, because you have promised that too. And we're going to see every person in our family, not only our immediate family, but our siblings also in Jesus' name and their families in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Yeah, Missy.
That just reminds me, I just started the last chapter, Saving Our Families by Faith. If you haven't read it, you need to read it because it's real encouraging and it really gives you a lot of wisdom and understanding of the grace that you need to give to your family. And
how to love on them, don't you?
Yeah. And how to pray for them and so on and so forth. And it's just really good.
I hadn't read it, but I got it up here the other day. So I intend on reading that.
It's really good.
Anyone else? Yeah, Anna.
Could I share a random little testimony?
Sure.
Okay, I don't think I ever shared this, and forgive me if I did, but I don't think I did. It was from like a year ago. But last year, I wanted a shelf in the boys' room where I could put all their puzzles and games with pieces so they couldn't get into it. And during the meetings, the other kids couldn't get into it, you know, and make a mess. I wanted something up really high where they couldn't get it. So I got all these four shelf brackets in the wall, and I got them all in there the right way, and I was feeling pretty good about it. I was like, wow, I actually figured out how to do this and got it right. And I was like, how hard could it be to build a shelf? I could ask Matthew to do it, but I was like, I could do it. It can't be that hard. It'll be fun. And so Matthew had got these boards that he'd bring home from work, these little oak thin boards, and I was like, they'll be perfect. Well, the shelf needed to be like 5 feet long. So this is weird little alcove in their room next to the closet. And, I was like, oh, it won't be that hard. I'll just, you know, put four boards down with, you know, just as supports. And then I'll put a bunch of long boards in there. Well, none of the boards were 5 feet long. So I had to stagger it like a wood flooring or like bricks or something. I was like, this shouldn't be too hard. Well, it turns out it's a whole lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And, cause I was going to lay them down on the concrete in the garage and screw them together. And then I realized, well, I can't do that. I'll screw into the concrete. And then you can't drill I couldn't just drill into the boards cause they would break. I had to drill pilot holes, but they're all moving all over the place. I'm trying to drill pilot holes and then I can't get the screws in. And I was like, Lord, will you help me and give me an idea? Because this is crazy. Like I've watched so many wood projects, you know, that my dad would do when I was growing up, or I've seen Matthew do it. I was like, it shouldn't be this hard. And then the Lord just put this whole plan together, how I could get it all set up, hold it in place, and do it all without having to change the screw bit for every single hole. You know, drill, screw, drill, screw. And the Lord just put it all together in my mind. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. And by this time, I was just ready to be done with it. And so I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. I was like, oh, maybe I should measure, you know, because I have these four or five support boards where the boards butt up against each other, the staggered ones. And so I have to have these support boards under these certain spots. And I was like, well, maybe I should measure so they fit on the brackets. Cause if one of them's on top of a bracket, you know, it's going to make the whole shelf wobble. And I was like, ah, no, it'll be fine. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be fine. So, so I didn't measure anything and I just put it together, and it was like a quarter inch too long. I made the shelf. So I had Matthew cut the end off, and he cut the end off for me, and I put it back up there. And it was within a millimeter. Those little support boards I had from fitting between the shelf brackets. Because if not, they would have been on top of one or two shelf brackets and the whole thing would have been teetering around. It was within a millimeter. And I didn't measure. I just like, thank you, Lord. The Lord's going to make it work while I was building it. And the Lord did it. And I just thought that was so awesome. Because I just would have had to redo everything. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, he was a carpenter, you remember.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good testimony. Father God, you're just so good. You just take care of us in every which way. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
It just made me think of a tiny little testimony. when I went to Curtin Brooks to watch the kids, they have this big queen size airbed, and that was just too big to be putting up and having to deal with while I was there. So, and my little twin mattress that I have it's not comfortable. So I went and bought a new twin air mattress that was a good bit thicker and it was much more comfortable. Anyway, it didn't come with a carrying bag. And when I rolled it up and everything, it wouldn't go back in the box. And it was like, I'm not going to try and figure out how to roll this thing up and put it, you know, fold it up and roll it up, whatever, and put it back in the box. So I thought, well, I'll just buy a, you know, just a tote bag or something or whatever. And when I was in Walmart, I looked to see if they had anything like that, and I couldn't find anything like that. I didn't look extremely hard in a bunch of different places or whatever. Anyway, so it's funny. I mentioned it to Merle about it, you know, and I actually even looked on Amazon. I could have spent like cheapest I found was like probably $10 for some kind of tote bag or whatever. And I just didn't feel like, So anyway, I mentioned it to Merle earlier today about wanting to get some kind of bag to put that in, you know, so it's easy to carry rather than trying to lug this box around. And so I went in not too long after that. I went into the laundry room, and on this one shelf was this reusable shopping bag. A Staples reusable shopping bag that I did have in my vehicle, and I didn't need it. So I put it on that shelf and I totally forgot about it. And I saw that and I was like, oh, I bet this will work. So I pulled it out and looked at it. I'm like, I'm sure this will work. So I went and and I was like, thank you, Lord. So it's just little things, you know, it's like, gosh, you know, it's like, you know, if the little things, how much more the big things will he do for us, you know? So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the big things too, Lord. There's nothing too hard for you. Oh, and that reminds me, I have a prayer request. We hadn't used our leaf blower since like the spring time, and we got it out and we were using it to do the leaves, and I turned it off for a little bit and then turned it back on. It was running for a little bit, and then all of a sudden it just stopped running, and it wasn't out of fuel. And we checked the spark plug, which that shouldn't be it because that's just started. Anyway, the spark plug is fine. We couldn't get it back started. So anyway, took it to the place we usually take to get stuff like that fixed. And they have a sign up there, 2 to 2.5 weeks. And Merle was thinking it would be at least 3 weeks. And anyway, so I was out on the deck, and I was just looking at the leaves. We've been doing as much as we can by hand, little by little, you know, raking. And The Lord put it in me because he, you know, it's like we've been learning about things that God does supernaturally and not dwelling in time and timelines and stuff like that. And so put it in me to ask him that, that they call us and tell us that the leaf blower is done in less than 2 weeks, because they said 2 to 2.5 weeks. So I'm believing for less than 2 weeks. And because, you know, it's like God says, I don't dwell in time. He's shown us how like with different testimonies, how, like, for instance, something that should have taken 2 hour drive only took an hour drive or whatever, or something like that, you know. Like David gave a testimony about something like that and different things like that. And so, Lord, you don't dwell in time. And I thank you, Father, that we're gonna get that call back ASAP, Lord, less than 2 weeks, Lord, and that Merle will be amazed because he's like thinking, oh, how long is this gonna take, you know? But thank you, Lord, you don't dwell on time, and you're gonna have it fixed for us sooner than that. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
To help us,
Father,
do our
she work. Has decreed it. We declare it. We thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. We just thank you. We're going to be thanking you all the time because it's already manifested. We believe it. Thank you, Jesus.
See the end from the beginning.
Yep. You know, I heard a guy explain that real simple that we should all listen about. He said, you know how it is when you get to a parade, you know, a big parade, like a big Christmas parade, that you get you a good spot and you're liable to sit there for hours watching these floats go by and the cheerleaders and the bands and all of that stuff, the horses and all of that stuff. And you don't know, you know, he said, when you get in a helicopter up above the parade, you can see the whole thing from start to beginning. And he said, you already know what it's about. That's the way our faith is. We should always look that away. We know the end from the beginning. Boy, that just blew all over. I said, praise God. That's good. I'm glad I thought of that. Thank you, Jesus. Do y'all see the parallel here of that? They're seeing the end from the beginning. We see Jesus down here. Well, we're going toward Jesus. That's what we keep our eyes on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Michael's dead. Jesus is alive. I want to read something that's going to set you on fire. Y'all want to be set on fire. There is y'all remember Merle Crothers, don't you? A Prison to Praise, I think is the name of it. Well, this is not from Prison to Praise. This is Bringing Heaven into Hell. And it's chapter 4. He says, how to raise the dead. How many of you want to know how to raise the dead? Okay. Jesus did it pretty good, didn't he? He was real good at it. He did that a number of times. Yeah. So how to raise the dead. That's chapter 4. An amazing example of praise at work is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus was told that Lazarus was ill, but didn't go to him right away. He waited till Lazarus was plumb dead. I'll put the plumb in there. Then told the disciples, let's go to Judea. Well, the disciples didn't want to go. The people in Judea tried to kill Jesus last time over there. Why should they risk their lives going to a funeral? Jesus then said something that must have sounded strange to the disciples. He said, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, for this will give you another opportunity to believe in me. John 11:14-15. Jesus was glad Lazarus was dead. Everybody else considered it a tragedy, but Jesus had another perspective on things, and he was glad. How many of you know Jesus knew what was going on? He knew what was going on, didn't he? He knew the end from the beginning. When they arrived in Bethany, where Lazarus lived, the family, friends, and many prominent Jewish leaders had gathered to mourn the dead. There were wailing and weeping and not much praise and thanksgiving. When they saw Jesus, some got angry and said, "This fellow healed a blind man. Why couldn't he keep Lazarus from dying?" Lord of God. Jesus was disappointed at their reaction and said, "Where's he buried?" They showed him, and he said, "Roll that stone away. Get that stone out away from it." Well, up to that point, you or I could probably have done what Jesus did. We could have gone to the funeral, consoled the family, and if we believe what the Bible said, all things work together for good to them that love God. We might have tried to tell the family it had all happened for the best. But in all likelihood, that is as far as you or I would go. Even if we were challenged by the family of the dead. You say you're a Christian, your God can do anything. How about asking to do something now? Glory to God. Yeah. Jesus man. Well, what did Jesus do? Did he ask God for help? Did he plead? "Father, will you hear me, please? Because I got a big problem here and I need some help." No. He just stood there and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me and that you always hear me." Jesus didn't ask God to do something. He thanked him that it was already done. He was saying, "Thank you that the problem isn't a problem anymore." There was quite a crowd around the grave, mourning and crying and wailing. The disciples were looking over their shoulders and worrying about getting caught and getting killed. Jesus was the only one there without a problem. How many of you know that Jesus understood that nobody's going to touch him until it was time? He already knew. He wasn't scared of nothing. He already knew what was going to happen to him. And whatever they tried to do between then and the time that he had to go to the cross, wasn't going to happen. All right. The disciples looking over the shoulder, worried about getting caught and killed. Jesus was the only one there without a problem. He didn't have anything to ask God. He only said, "Thank you, Father, that you always hear me." Then he looked straight at that grave and he commanded Lazarus to come forth. Why can't you and I do the same? Didn't Jesus tell his disciples later, "In solemn truth, I tell you, anyone believing in me shall do the same miracles I have done. And even greater ones, because I'm going to be with the Father." You can ask him for anything using my name, Jesus said. And I will do it, for this will bring praise to the Father. And because of what I, the Son, will do for you. John 14:12-13. That's one of the verses in the Bible that often makes us a little uncomfortable. I haven't raised anybody from the dead yet, and you probably haven't either. We can't even handle some of the minor problems that confront us. But Jesus said we could. And he demonstrated how. He simply said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me." How many of you know that praise and thanksgiving is the way to get God's attention? And that's what Merlin was talking about. Praise and thanksgiving to God gets his attention. And once you get his attention, he's looking at my boy, Michael. Look at him. Boy, he's going to go put his hand on. I'm just going to bless these people that he puts his hand on. I'm going to bless these people that Messi puts her hands on or anybody in here because you thanked him and you praised him and you're giving him the glory. You're giving God the glory. It's nothing that you've done. How many of you can heal anything? None of us. It's Jesus in us that does it, isn't it? And I'll tell you this much I know. It's an automatic switch. You just know when you put your hands on somebody for healing, they're going to get healed. And the more you do it, the more proficient you'll be at it. That's a natural fact. The more you try, the more you act like Jesus, the more Jesus you're going to look like. Yeah, Missy.
You know, I kind of forgot a part. There is some other pieces to this that I was telling about concerning the whole taking care of the leaves. I'm just sitting here thinking about this. And anyway, the Lord convicted me the other day, you know, when we were doing leaves about complaining, you know, about doing leaves because we get so many leaves in our yard and you know, I always complain, say, I hate doing the leaves, you know? And I'm usually the one that has a power pack blower, you know, and use that. And Merle doesn't care too much to use it. But anyway, so yesterday when Merle and I were raking leaves, the Lord put it into me to say, thank you, Lord, for the leaves. Thank you, Lord, for the leaves. That was like a repentance for complaining. I hate raking leaves. So thank you. And I said, right, Merle, and everything give thanks and gives, I don't know. I said, that's what the word says, and everything give thanks. And then later, he not long after that, he says, you think that the leaves, you know, in the fall was part of the curse? I said, yeah. Anyway. So the first day that we were doing leaves and, I got knotted up in my one side of my back and kind of had a headache. And then, the next day when we did leaves, you know, I just kept thanking the Lord I'm healed and delivered from that, you know, rather than the Lord just put it in me to not forbid any pain or knots and all, just to thanking that I'm already healed and delivered, you know? And so I just kept doing that and just praying in the spirit as I was raking the leaves and, you know, and thanking the Lord that I'm healed and delivered. And the one day, a little bit of it wanted to try and calm on me, but I just kept thanking the Lord that I was healed and delivered. And since then, that I haven't had any issues with that, which is unusual because in the past I would have, in the natural was unusual, but I just want to praise and thank the Lord that I am healed and delivered from all that. And I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
That's just a little bit more that came to my mind to share concerning the whole leaf thing. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. How many of you have experienced translation? Raise your hand. I know you have, Judy. How many of you are saved? Huh? All of you saved? Well, all of you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son's light. There. Now, every one of you have experienced it. Translation. That is translation from one realm to another. And that's what it is. Now, I didn't think of that on my own. I don't want you to think that I did. But I got this from somebody else. And I pulled the same thing on me, you know. Not me personally, but in a teaching that he had. Translation. So translation is not just it's from realm to realm. And you can go from place to place. Translation is this. moving from one realm to another or one geographical location to another location. Yeah, Missy.
Okay, I'm probably going to open up a can of worms here, but I'm going to ask
you. Well, then hush.
I'm pretty sure I watched the same thing you did.
Okay.
And I know Julie watched it. But anyway, I'm pretty sure he mentioned fifth dimension and quantum physics.
I remember him mentioning quantum physics, but I didn't hear anything about fifth dimension, but I could have missed that.
I thought for sure he briefly mentioned that. But anyway, anyway, so my question is, if anybody knows about these things, it makes me, well, there's, I think it was back in the 80s.
There was What's the question?
well, let me just preface it with this. Back in the 80s, there was this show called Quantum Leap, and they have a new one now, Quantum Leap. Hmm. And anyway, it's about time, you know, and whatever. It's like this whole translation thing, you know, in and out of places and kind of thing. And I'm like, and this fifth dimension thing. And I'm like thinking, okay, is fifth dimension and quantum physics related? And also my thought is, okay, the little bit that I know about what the secular world or even New Age, I mean, I think both of them can be used for Satan's kingdom, you know, New Age stuff, for man's purposes, should you say, or whatever, could you say, because I know, John Ramirez talks about, astral projection, and that's
soul travel.
Yeah, time travel, astral projection.
Soul travel, not time travel.
Soul travel, okay. Yeah. But anyway, soul travel and stuff like that. And it's like all this is kind of interrelated. And I'm just wondering, like I was saying, like the quantum physics and the translation thing and everything, and I'm not sure what the fifth dimension whole thing is about, but I'm almost sure I heard him just briefly just say the word fifth dimension, and he didn't say anything about it or whatever. He just, for some reason, briefly just said that. And so I'm just wondering if, especially the quantum physics, the knowledge of that or whatever, that can be used for good or evil is my thought, you know. Evil in the respect of man's works or whatever. But I don't know what any of y'all know about that, but I'm just throwing something out there, you know.
Well, what were you trying to say, though? I haven't understood even what you're trying to say.
I'm just wondering if anybody knows about these, and is it something that can be used for good or evil? And what exactly is the fifth dimension? I know fifth.
Oh, you're talking about the fifth dimension. Okay, I didn't understand what you were trying to put
in quantum physics. I'm wondering if they're interrelated. And I know I've heard fifth dimension used, I think, by people who are New Agers or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering about all that. Is fifth dimension something? Something that's
let's stick with the Bible. I'll tell you what I know. Here's what I know is that science proves the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And if quantum physics, it proves the Bible in certain ways, in lots of ways, actually. And you have to have a real good knowledge of quantum physics, or at least a working knowledge of quantum physics, to understand the relationship between quantum physics and time. David talks about it, timeline, all of that stuff. There's actually two times. We had a lady in quantum physics. There's two times. There's a time of what Jesus tells us about it in Mark 11, 23 and 24. That's a timeline. You can do one of two. You can be in one of two time zones. You know, you could be in the time zone of belief where it's going to happen, or you could be in the time zone. Well, it hadn't happened when I thought it was, so I don't guess it's going to happen. That's two time zones. You have put yourself out of the blessings of God because of your doubt and unbelief. You've taken yourself out of that timeline of fulfilling your prayer. And the other one, of course, is praise God. I thank you, Lord. It's already done. It don't make any difference what I see with my natural eye, hear with my natural ear, or any of my five senses. I know it's done because your word says it's done. And bless God, I believe the truth over what I see, hear, smell, touch, any of that are here. And I thank you, Father, it is done. You will see it done. It's when you lose, when you get into a different time zone, it's when you quit believing that it's going to happen. You've taken yourself, you have stepped back 15 steps or more. I'm just this number I came up with, not what God comes up with. But you put yourself into a different time zone that's way behind what you have prayed. Does that make sense to everybody? It's two different timelines. Yeah, Missy. And I'm telling you something, we're learning that today. We are learning that today. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, the Lord just keeps reminding me, whatever you pray, just keep imagining it coming to pass. Imagine yes. it's
happened. Already done.
Yeah, that it's happened.
It's already done.
He just keeps reminding me that, you know, and we know David's taught faith, faith through imagination. I mean, geez, that's powerful. Praise the
it
Lord.
Is. It really is. It's God's way.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's physics. It's not quantum physics. That's God physics. Bless God. And listen, quantum physics says the same thing in a scientific way. You remember the experiment with the Japanese guy and the strawberry plants? Y'all remember that? Timeline. That's it. Same thing. Different timeline. Now, what would have happened if he had done that for a week on a strawberry, just cursed it every time he saw it, and then after a week he said, I'm going to change. I'll tell you what would happen if he'd done it. I'm going to change. I'm going to go ahead and bless this strawberry plant from now on and see what happened. I wish he'd have done that, because it would have changed his perspective in the same walk, I believe with all my heart that strawberry plant would have taken off and probably put a dozen strawberries out there in front of him. Great big one, about that big, just as juicy as a watermelon. Lord of God. But that's God's physics there. And he was showing it scientifically. And that, you know, God doesn't prove science. Science proves God. That's a great, great lesson to learn. I love that lesson with those plants that Japanese did. That was awesome experiment. It showed me a lot. What you speak with your mouth. Here's something that I've been doing. I used to have trouble hearing. I don't have trouble anymore. They said, did you hear me? I heard every word you said, best guy. I just didn't understand it. You know what I mean? No, I mean, not now. I just said, yeah, I understood it. Then he'll come, well, why don't you do it? Do what? What I told you to do. But I'm doing it. You just got to wait until I figure it out. But that's what you do. You always pray and believe. You can't get off into unbelief, or you put yourself in that wrong timeline. You'll be walking backwards rather than forward. He wants you to act like Jesus. Jesus never, he didn't say, Lord, if it be your will, open that stone up and bring Lazarus out there. No. He told him, he said, get that stone away from that hole over there, that cave over there. What? He gonna stink, Lord. Didn't I tell you you'd move that stone? Moved the stone. He moved the stone and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't go into some big dancing around there and doing all that Baal worship junk. All he did was, Lazarus, come forth, boy. And he come out of there scooting around. He couldn't even hardly walk because of all the stuff he had on him. Scooting around. He said, get that stuff off that boy and let him breathe, for goodness sake. Then they went home and had a party. That's how God wants us to walk and talk. He wants us to talk like Jesus, act like Jesus in a humble way. Jesus was always humble. He was always humble. But we can, how many of you know you can get mad at the devil? You can get mad at the devil. Ben got mad at the devil a while ago. And I guarantee you that devil took off. I get mad at him too, Ben. I don't wrestle with him either. I ain't putting up with him. There's a lot of men out there that like to do that with demon possession. They like to make a big spectacle out of it. I'm like, Jesus, that thing's got to go right now. You get out of here. Praise God. Glory to God. But that was, did you listen to that whole thing, Missy? If you didn't, you should have. He said some interesting things. I'll tell you one of the things he said, Pat. He said this. He said he knew a man. And I forget how he came about doing this. Maybe it doesn't make any difference. But what he would do, Pat and y'all, he would sit down in his chair and he'd have another chair over here that was empty. And he'd sit down when it was time for him to talk to the Lord. He won't talk to the Lord. And he'd sit down and he'd start talking to the Lord. He said, I just imagined in my mind Jesus was sitting in that chair and me and Jesus was having a conversation. And what he did that for 10 years? I believe it was 10 years. He'd do that every night. At first, the Lord asked him. Here, I remember now. The Lord asked him, he said, I don't have anybody to talk to. Would you talk with me? He said, sure, Lord, I'll talk with you. Not really, every night. He said, I want somebody to talk to every day. He said, will you do that? And he didn't want to disappoint the Lord. He said, yeah, Lord, I'll do that. Not thinking. I ain't got no time to talk to him. But he said, he made it up in his mind. He said, I'm not going to disappoint the Lord. I'll wake up at 12:45 every night and talk to you. So that's what he did. He'd wake up at 12:45. He'd put his chair over there in front of him. And he'd just act like Jesus was there. And he did that for 10 years. One night, he heard somebody coming in the door, physically. Open the door and shut the door. Guess who walked in? In the natural, in the flesh, Jesus. He said, because of your faithfulness, from this point on, you're going to see me in the flesh all the time. He said, you're going to see me all the time. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you what. It was, he did it for 10 years though. How many of you could endure in your faith for that long? I'm going to say with God's help, that we can with God. And here's something else he said, y'all. He said this. He said, those minutes that I had with the Lord during that 10 years were the best time of the day. The whole day was during that time. He said, the Lord and I would just sit there and talk. This was before he could see him. He was just imagining it in his mind. Imaginations is the key point to faith. One of them. You got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's going to answer. Might be 10 years for whatever. I'm not saying that's what it's going to be. But he was faithful for 10 years. And how many of you know you wait for 10 years to see the Lord in the flesh during the rest of your life? Ooh, Lord of God. Can you imagine? Come on, Jesus. Let's go downtown and get us some ice cream. Yeah. He'd do that. Let's go downtown and get us some ice cream. You don't do that? Yeah. He asked him one time, they were going downtown, and he said, they went by some big high-tech buildings. You know, I forget what the names of some of them were, but they were Bentleys and Rolls Royces and Jaguars and all those kind of big high-dollar cars out there. And he asked Jesus, he said, Jesus, y'all going to help me. I forget what that meant. He said, yeah. Well, hang on just a minute. Let me get us up to that point, and you can tell him what he said. And he said, yeah. He said, Jesus, what kind of car do you like? He said, oh, I like BMWs. BMWs? Why do you like BMWs? Now, somebody tell me what the answer was, Missy or Julie.
Missy? I'm pretty sure I had to think myself, be my witness.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, be my witness. Glory to God. Jesus is funny, isn't it? Glory to God. I got to write that down, but I forgot it, Missy. I knew it was something special, though. Be my witness.
Who are you listening to, Michael?
I'm listening to Jesus.
Secondarily. What were you guys?
Oh, you're talking about what we've been listening to? I'll send you a link. I'll send everybody.
Is this
a
the one with quantum physics and all that?
No, actually, we had a lady in the local fellowship that comes up during pot blessing that explained it to us. Her husband is some kind of a wizard physicist of some sort. I don't know, but it works, and it's the same thing that Jesus talks about, Mark 11:23-24. John 14:14. Matthew 6:16. All of those faith verses. But I'll tell you what, he said, how many of you read that book? David's got, faith through imaginations or something like that. Imagination through faith, or faith through imagination, something like that.
Isn't it faith for all things?
Yeah, faith for all. No, that's not it. It's imaginations is in the title.
I don't recall that.
And it might not be a book yet, but I know he had he has some teachings on it.
Hmm.
That's been real good news.
Yeah, that's a chapter in, you're right, Barbara. That's a chapter in Real Good News. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it was. Y'all read that? Same thing we've been talking about tonight. That's an awesome chapter. There are things that we haven't even explored in the realm of the supernatural, spiritual things of God that you can do with your mind and your imagination. If you can imagine it and you can believe in it, you can do it. Yeah, Missy. As long as you're walking with the Lord. Yeah, Missy.
Well, what came to my mind is your renewed mind.
Yeah. What you feed on is what you're going to be, right? And, if you feed on TV all day long, guess what? You're going to be worldly. But if you feed on the Word of God, you're going to be just like Jesus. Yeah, Missy.
This guy said, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he basically said he's not a partaker in media. He hates TV. He does not watch TV and whatever. And, you know,
it destroys your spiritual being.
Yeah. It destroys your faith. Because all media, you know, secular media in particular is all about what you see.
And we're supposed I'll tell you this much. When they came out with TV, they came up with the frequency of the TV works against your spirit. It doesn't make any difference if you've got praise music come across that thing. If it's in the wrong, well, I'm not saying that you can't bless it. Don't get me wrong. You can bless it. But anything that comes across that TV, you're getting through a frequency that has been designated to kill your spirit, man. That's the beast. That's the beast. Yeah, Missy.
It just makes me think of what I've heard a lot of people call it, the one-eyed demon.
When you what? I didn't hear you.
It just reminds me of what I've heard a lot of people call it, the one-eyed demon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, one-eyed demon. Yeah, that's right. Amen. I ain't nothing good about it. Even Joel Osteen on TV is not good. I mean, I'm not saying that. He's good. He's probably a good man. I know. How many of you ever heard his dad preach? John Osteen. Powerful man of God. Powerful man of God. He was on TV a lot in the 60s and 70s. Okay. But God. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share or a question? Well, we got 40 minutes here. Yeah, Pat.
So, I've been thinking about the resurrection. I know that I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord woke me up with a scripture. No, that was the accuser. But I was, as a matter of fact, you kind of hit on it tonight when you were talking about is it in John 14? About Lazarus? Was it John 14?
Oh.
So let me see that.
About Lazarus?
Yeah.
I don't know. I read it out of the book here. Hang on.
John 11.
Somebody just probably texted them.
Yeah, it's John. Well, and when he went to Martha. You know, they had their conversation there. And, you know, she basically said that, you know, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died, you know. And Jesus said to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And the thing that Jesus said to her was, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And just that statement, "I am the resurrection and the life." And the Lord has, and so I kind of did a little bit of a study on, you know, kind of the same thing I did with accusation was resurrection. And just read about all the situations related to resurrection. But, which is good for like a mind expander in a way. I mean, just it opens your understanding, or at least makes you aware of the different aspects of resurrection. But anyway, I was thinking, and actually I was reading in Philippians, and this is kind of where, and I think I mentioned this on Tuesday or so. No, this is Tuesday. It was last week. But I wanted to read something. It was interesting that in Philippians 3 verse 10, he says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed unto his death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead." And I think, isn't it the numeric says, "If somehow I may attain unto the out resurrection from the dead." And I think David, I don't know if he has a teaching on that or something, but this out resurrection, that word there for resurrection is the only place it's used in the Bible. And it means an out resurrection. And I haven't put that together, and I don't quite understand exactly what the meaning of that is, but that may be something later on to think about or whatever. But as I was thinking about that, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And I have kind of a habit when I see, I think it's from reading King James a lot when, you know, I was younger or whatever, but whenever I see the word "that," especially when, you know, it's starting out in a sentence, I mentally put "so" in front of it, just because it helps to helps me in my thinking a little bit. But in the verse begins, "So that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." And if you look up the previous verse up, the so that I may know him in order is contingent upon the next verse up, which says, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through faith, which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness from God upon the faith. And I'm looking at that verse, which at that part of the verse, which says, which is through faith of Christ. And I'm thinking back in when Jesus was telling, I wish I could think of where it was at right now, but Jesus was telling his disciples to have God's faith in them. I don't remember what it was. It said you believe in the Father, believe in me, have God's faith, or something like that. I don't remember if it was in John somewhere. But this, I think, to me, speaks of the faith which operates in Christ, through faith of Christ. But that, so that is there in that verse, that I may be gain Christ and be found in him, is contingent upon the verse up above it in 3:8. Yea, verily, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. I think right there, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. I'm thinking of this conversation of quantum physics and all that sort of thing. That's where Jesus dwells, in that he is comfortable in understanding that realm. And it's not foreign to him. He knows all about it. But that he counted loss, he counted all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I suffered loss of all things and count them refuse, trash, dung, or whatever. But if you looked up into the verse 7, it shows you Paul's frame of reference, which was at the foundation of this desire that he had. But what things were gains to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. He made a willful decision to account of the things that he considered gains. He considered them and counted them as a loss in order to gain Christ. He had a frame of reference that all those things that were important to him at one point, he now is placing them as secondary importance compared to Christ. It's like the counting of the cost that Jesus had a parable about. And also I think of the holiness teachers of the you know, last century or so, or earlier than that. John Wesley and was kind of instrumental in bringing in the holiness, the sanctification, the discipleship, and the holiness movement had at one of its foundations was consecrating your life totally, surrender totally over to God, giving your all to God. And it's like a what we are being taught now and hearing a lot about is that death to self concept. And Paul, as he's speaking in here in these verses, the premise of his, I thought back of where did that start in Paul? And I thought of what happened to him on the Damascus Road when he was out there fire breathing, you know, full speed ahead, going to toss this group that was a cult that was tearing down the religion, you know, and destroying and opposing everything that was good in his eyes. But when that light hit him, and at the same time blinded him, and then he heard those words, Paul, or Saul, what are you doing? What are you doing? And the only thing he could do, because his life, even at that moment of time, and the fear that probably was striking him, and the light that had taken away his eyesight, and even in that midst, he said, Lord, who are you? Because he knew whoever or whatever this was, it was absolutely in control of that moment of time in his life. And his life had just been derailed, especially when he heard the words, I am Jesus whom you persecute. And at that time, I have to think that everything in his life flashed before his eyes as, you know, with the awareness that all of a sudden he had been wrong all of his life. He had been wrong. What happened? And yet the interesting thing that I thought is that God left him blind. He left him blind and took him to that place. I don't remember whose house he went to. And he left him there for, I don't know how long, maybe days. But what was going through his mind at the time? At that time, one of the things that was heavy on his mind is he couldn't see. What would he do now in life? How would he, you know, had he not even heard those words from Jesus, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Had he not even heard that, just on the practical level, he was blind. He couldn't do anything that he was doing before. He was blind. He was in this world. He had no way to support himself. He was blind. And yet he had these words that were you know, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And all of that was bringing his whole worldview into destruction, and he was dying. The person that he was died on that road, and he had to assimilate what that meant. He died. And so I think of that concept that started his frame of reference. Everything that I used to know, I count it as a pile of dung, because my focus is now, I need to find out who Jesus is. I need him now. All of this that I thought I knew is worthless, useless. Now my focus is that. And the thing that I, that aspect of bringing, of God bringing Paul in to the new birth was obviously a very dramatic and radical thing that happened in his life. And he made a lot of transition at that time. He made a lot of exchange. He threw a lot of stuff out, and he absorbed a lot of stuff, made a major transition. And Paul was instrumental in explaining many things of the resurrection, because that frame of reference led him in counting all things as useless in exchange for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my righteousness, which is of the law. And I don't think Paul, when he was writing these words to the Philippians, this is 30 years, around 30 years after the Damascus Road. This was 30 years down the line. This is, I think, 30 years, 32 years or something after the resurrection of Jesus. And he is saying that I may be found, that this is still happening in him, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my righteousness. Even Paul, who had said we were all crucified in Christ, and we no longer have our righteousness. We have received of the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus, etc. But yet, even there's that aspect of him saying, not having my righteousness, but which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness from God upon faith. And I'm sitting here putting this together for the last few weeks, and it all comes down to that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of sufferings, being conformed to his death, that death of self, that even as he's explaining here, as in a process, but there is a place, which I believe is a perfection, a completion of that death of self, if somehow I may attain unto the out resurrection from the dead. Then he says in the next verse that something interesting says, not that I have already received or am already made perfect. In other words, he's still, even at this time, looking at that, at this resurrection as something that he was looking forward to receive, or that was still in his future. And but I follow on, if so that I may apprehend that for which I was also apprehended by Christ. In other words, that perfection of that resurrection was something that Christ, that Jesus, that God created for us, for Paul, created for us to enter into that. I follow on toward the mark of the high prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says, therefore, let us therefore, as many as are perfect. Now he's saying that he is perfect and we are perfect. And I assume that he's speaking by faith, that we are perfect, be thus minded, and if anything, anything ye are otherwise minded, this shall God shall reveal unto you. When I then go down to the bottom to see how God will reveal it unto us, I think he is putting it in verse 20 and said, for this we have to focus on, like I believe it's in Colossians, well, I don't remember exactly, I won't go there. He's saying, for our citizenship is in the heavens, is in the heavenly, in the spiritual heaven realm, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation. The body of our humiliation. What is the body of our humiliation? It's this Adam package that we received with iniquity of sin, and this whole thing that we have received from God, that he cleanses every day, and we confess our sin, and he cleanses, and we constantly are battling those thoughts and those temptations and all of that package, that body that wants to tear us down, that wants to shame us, wants to embarrass us, and wants to create failure in us. All of that body of our humiliation, who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation, conformed to the body of his glory, according to the working whereby. The working whereby, what is that? That's sanctification, this whole going through the wilderness, learning to walk, we're learning to reach out in faith and fail and stumble and pick it up, and until we work through those processes and we work that truth of his salvation into our inner being, and then we start to rest on it and move on, and it becomes a foundation in our life, conform to the body of his glory according to the working whereby he is able even to subject all things to himself. When it's all said and done, who is the one that is able to subject all things to himself, even the all things contrary to him in our lives, in this body of humiliation that we carry? He is able to do it by his faith functioning in us. When I got this thought today, maybe it was yesterday, and I'm just going to, and I wrote the thought down, and it was kind of based upon what Paul is saying here in a sense. And that is, he was by faith believing he was perfected in this resurrection life, yet it was ahead of him. His mental references that it was still ahead of him to receive. Yet, when he spoke in Romans, in chapter 6, he talks about, "For are you ignorant that all you were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also of his resurrection." So he was even seeing it and teaching it to the Romans. Now, I don't know if the Romans are written before Philippians or whatever, but this was the thought that I received. And I gave it back to the Lord in a prayer. You gave us an example, Lord, you gave us an example of both dead to self life, quotes, before the crucifixion, and an example of dead to self life after the crucifixion. In other words, Jesus was, when he was in his ministry, he was functioning in the resurrection life by faith, but that life, resurrection life, the manifestation of it, that he was walking in was after crucifixion, which was in his future at the time. That was a form of resurrection life by faith. And we see all of the things that he accomplished and walked through in that process. But then there was the crucifixion, and then there was his being raised up from the dead. And there's another example of the resurrection life of Jesus after crucifixion. It's no longer in his future, it was now, the present, because of something that happened in the past. And I think that what I was seeing is that there is a spiritual parallel to us entering in to that resurrection life. Both are available, but one is only available after crucifixion, the death to the self, death to self-life. So I don't know how on target or maybe out in the ozone I may be in on this whole thing, but this is kind of what I was kicking about. That's what Philippians brought me through here the last couple of weeks. So,
anyway. Amen. I just got a text. We need to pray and believe for one of the missionaries and one of the main guys. So y'all would just believe with me, okay? I command this attack on this person to leave him. Right now, in Jesus' name, I command the effects of a stroke be gone. In Jesus' name, I command everything that's trying to attack him right now, curses spoken against him, be cast down. In Jesus' name, I command everything in his body, not of God, leave right now. In Jesus' name, I command all symptoms of this stroke to go from him right now in the name of Jesus. That's the name that's above every name. And I thank you, Father, that this man is healed, delivered, and set free. I command every symptom to leave him right now in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, that by the time they get to the hospital, this man is healed, delivered, set free from the attacks of the enemy in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. I command every organ in his body to operate like it's supposed to in Jesus' name. Be whole, be healed in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, it is done right now in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that this man is healed. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that the guy that's taking him here, there, will see the work that you're doing in him right now, and your glory will be praised. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for your protection on them as they go to the hospital. And I thank you, Father, that the doctor himself is going to be giving praise to you, Father, for his complete healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord God. This is the guy that started it all. I praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, that he is healed, delivered, and set free by the power and the blood of Jesus. And we just plead the blood of Jesus all over him right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing this for this man in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God, it's done. It is done. I believe it. I declare and decree him healed and whole right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I already see the end from the beginning. Go ahead, Missy.
Lord, he has your blood, and your blood is not your blood is normal. It's not clotted or nothing like that, Lord. And he has the blood of Jesus, not just the blood of Jesus on him, but the blood of Jesus in him. In the name of Jesus, he has perfect health and healing in the mighty name of Jesus. And we praise you and we thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that by the time they get to the hospital, he will be completely asymptomatic, I guess that's the word. No symptoms at all. He will be completely healed. He is completely healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. They're taking him on a motorcycle in the name of Jesus. I command him to be healed before he gets on that motorcycle. And I praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. He won't have to be tied to the driver to get him to the hospital. He'll be shaking that driver to pull over. Glory to God. We got some praying to do. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father. It is done. This man is whole, healed, and delivered. And just like Missy said, he has the blood of Jesus in him, which has the light of the healing power of God in him. And I praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Father, we thank you that he is raised in Jesus.
Amen.
He is raised in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your life-giving power and spirit in him. We thank you that by your stripes, he was healed. He is protected. He is translated out of this kingdom of darkness. We thank you, Lord, that you have delivered him out of the kingdom, translated him into the kingdom of your dear son. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that healing. We thank you that he is raised to walk in newness of life. And we praise you for it, Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. I thank you, Father, that he is healed and it's going to be to your glory, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. Praise it. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else got a prayer request before we close out tonight? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I got a little prayer. I almost forgot about it. On Sunday night, I was cooking some corn for me to eat. And while turning it, I spilled some boiling water on my wrist. I rebuked it, and I wasn't even a couple of minutes when the pain was gone. So I just laid a little mark on it. So praise the Lord for healing. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Did you say you prayed and your brain was gone? No, you didn't say that. Oh, okay.
Pain.
Okay, great. Praise God. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
I'm sorry I misunderstood you.
No problem.
Amen. That's the closed caption down here. That's what I'm going to blame it on then. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Praise God. Yeah, Joe.
Sorry, my brain was gone. I got Jesus' brain now. Sorry, but correct one.
Amen, brother. Amen. Lord of God. That's right. You do. Amen. We got the mind of Christ. Yes, I will. I will. And I'll send you that link here in a little bit. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. That's awesome. Okay, y'all be blessed, you hear? We'll see y'all. Oh, wait a minute. I got something I want to tell you about next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday night. Mark this down. Next Tuesday night, let me get the deal here. I'll just read you what was sent to me. She said, this is Anna. She said, I was wondering if we could discuss on the outreach tonight or another Tuesday how to know when someone has been born again, especially in regard to our children and how to bring about their new birth. I didn't personally have a born-again experience. It just happened over the years of my childhood. So I guess I'm wondering if my children will and how to help them receive it. Obviously, I've been born again, but I can't pin it to a day or even a year. Well, some children are like that. They've brought up in Christianity and were taught the Christian way and just evolved into it. And at some point in time, I'm sure they had to make up their mind that they were going to follow Christ. But anyway, let's talk about that next Tuesday night. Not Thursday, but Tuesday, because you're not going to be able to get on Thursday night because they have band practice. So next Tuesday night, how do we tell if somebody's born again, especially little children? All right, y'all be blessed, you hear?